Welcome back. Another episode of Off the Cliff Show brought to you by 14th and Market Podcast Network. Before we get into anything, what I need y'all to do, hit that subscribe button. If you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, make sure y'all follow, hit the subscribe button. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, same thing, hit the subscribe button, hit that like button. It supports me. It helps me a lot and it's free. Of course, we're going to get into Sixers game one loss to the New York Knicks tonight. Joel Embiid's injury, of course, and you know what we can expect, you know, moving forward in the series, and you know, also break down the game and what really happened. So for further ado, here's the intro. All right, we back, man. So Sixers lose to the New York Knicks tonight in a game one loss, the first round of the playoffs, which is, you know, it's kind of whatever. Major thing we have, of course, we want to talk about Joel Embiid's injury. Put back, throws the ball off the glass to himself, put back dunk, comes down wrong, hurts his knee. I think a couple people, because I was in a bar, I'm not even going to lie to y'all. I was in a bar and I couldn't hear the broadcast, but I think a couple people just said, like, he just came, like, he came down wrong and, like, he just felt something weird and it was like a fake injury type thing. He just has to, like, you know, trust his knee more. So apparently he is okay. I don't know, but completely sucked all the energy out of the Sixers, and you could kind of tell. And Kyle Lowry was kind of that driving force to kind of get them back into the game, because I think the Knicks went into the half like a 12-point lead or 10-point lead, something like that. But once the injury happened, like, I don't know about y'all, but me emotionally, I was like, bro, this is just, like, it's every season. Like, he might be okay right now. I mean, we're going to wait till after the game and see what reports we're going to get. But it's like, dog, every season. Like, I was watching, I'm like, bro, this is emotionally draining. Like, I was so surprised that he came back into the game and, like, it was just nothing wrong with him. I was like, all right, well, like, what exactly happened? But just the emotions that I went through, from the dunk to, oh my God, that was crazy, to they might got to trade him, like, at this point, to – how did he come back? But yeah, man. So definitely the major storyline of this game, and I guess we'll be going forward. This series, like, will he be able to hold up versus the Knicks team that's, you know, really physical? They were really physical with him tonight. A lot of fouls weren't called. He kind of powered through him. He looked great in that first half. I think 15 or 16 first half points from him. He looked really dominant. He was knocking down his jumpers. He was getting really physical in the paint. He was grabbing rebounds. He looked good, man. Like, he was the best player on the floor by a mile. And, like, those first two quarters, you're like, okay, the Knicks are – there's no way they're going to be able to win a game because they can't stop Joel. It didn't matter what they did to him. They put Hartenstein on him, Mitchell Robinson on him. They were sending double teams. He was reading the double teams well. He was powering through the double teams. He was getting and-ones. It was like they have nothing to stop him. And this is in the midst of – Tyrese Maxey having a bad half. Like, pretty much everyone on the Sixers played bad in that first half except for Joel Embiid. And he was so good that the Sixers even got out to about a 10-point lead. And you're like, all right, like, what are the Knicks going to be able to do to stop the Sixers? But, of course, the injury happens. Then we go into the second half. You don't know how he felt. Oh, my God, my dog just barked. But going to the second half, don't know how he feels, but whatever. We'll just stay on the first half. Tyrese Maxey pretty much had a bad first half. Like, it was kind of weird, right? So it was a good first half, but for Tyrese Maxey and what you needed, like I said and mentioned, nobody on the Sixers played well in that first half. And for somebody like Tyrese Maxey, who is an all-star, who you expect to win most improved player of the year, who is the second superstar on this team or second star, you expect Maxey to, you know, put more of an imprint on his game, like maybe have 15 first half points, especially when those minutes that Joel goes down, you expect Maxey to say, okay, let me step up. Let me at least keep us in the game, because we don't know what's going to happen with Joel. We don't know if he can come back. We don't know if he, like, tore his ACL. Like, we have no idea what happened. So let me just keep us in the game, keep us steady, just in case he does come back and we have a chance. So he did look a little scared. Like, he didn't look confident. He was missing, like, all his threes. Like, he wasn't taking his normal shots. He was getting to the rim, but, like, the Knicks were kind of clogging the paint, like, sending bodies at him, especially when he would drive. They would just send a body and sit him in the paint. He was making nice passes out, but it was like, they were just like, all right, well, if you make those kick passes, like, we'll live with that as long as you're not scoring at the rim. And it was just, it was weird first half. Like, it was good, but like, it wasn't up to Tyrese Maxey's standards and what you expect. Coming out of that second, like I said, Knicks looked awful in that first half. They couldn't do anything with Joel. Jalen Brunson was pretty much put into a box all game. He really couldn't do anything. And I see what the Sixers are doing, right? They're saying, okay, we're not giving you a three, and we're not letting you get all the way to the rim, so you're just going to have to hit that little mid-range shot at least an 80% clip for you guys to win this game, right? And that's what they're just like, if you hit those little mid-ranges and you're able to stop us on defense, then hats off to you. GGs, you deserve to win this series. But that's what pretty much the Sixers are doing. They sent different bodies at them. There was Tyrese Maxey guarding them. Kelly Oubre was guarding them. Tobias guarding them to start the game. Like, they were just sending different bodies at him and giving them different looks, where you could tell everything looked like it was a struggle for Jalen Brunson. And Jalen Brunson is great. Like, I'm not taking anything from Jalen Brunson, but oh my God, just cough. But this is what shows in having a good coach in Nick Nurse, is they showed him different looks the entire game, where you could tell he had to think about everything that he was doing. And I think it kind of threw him off of his game, because it was a couple of little mid-ranges where either just came up short or he shot it really long, because like, he was like, all right, like, is this a good shot? Can I find somebody else? Like, he didn't really know what to do in that little pocket of space that he had. And it's like, you could tell he was like, all right, well, I don't want to shoot us out of the game. I just don't want to continue to shoot this shot. And like, it's going to go in 50% of the time. It's like, he was trying to get his teammates involved. It looked like he was thinking too much. So, you know, shout out to the Sixers defense for pretty much shutting Jalen Brunson down. This game, I don't want to say shutting him down, because like I said, he's a great player. But he did end up with 22-7-7. He shot 8 for 26, so 30% from the field. He was 1 of 6 from three. Really bad Jalen Brunson game, actually. I didn't know. I guess this is shutting him down for real. But yeah, first half just looked like he was just confused. He didn't know what to do. Like I said, thinking entirely too much. Looked like the lights were a little bit too bright at, you know, what they wanted him to do. But that's what's going to happen when you're going against a Knicks team that he is literally the only shot creator. While I was watching the game, I'm like, yo, no one else can do anything. Versus when the Sixers were locked in and the rotations were on a string and they knew where everyone was. And it's just like, all right, well, Jalen Brunson is just going to have to save y'all, or he's going to have to, like I said in my last pod, he's going to have to average 35 to 40 for them to win this series, because no one else could do anything in that first half, right? So shout out to the Sixers defense for that. Of course, the Joel Embiid injury happens, sucks the energy out of the arena. The Knicks go on, I think, like a 26-9 run to end the half. Of course, no Joel Embiid for like the last 7 minutes of that second quarter. I think they go up 10 or 12 leading into the half, and then the entire half, you're like, all right, like, is Joel okay? What's going on? Like, a lot of people, he made this face to where you're like, oh my God, like, he probably tore it. He probably knows his knee is done. Everybody on the timeline, all of Twitter is like, all right, it's over. Like, you don't put him back into this game. And then, of course, halftime ends, and he just walks back onto the court like nothing happens. And everybody like he's back. Like, what's happening? So he comes back. By this point, the Sixers still have no energy, right? Because like I said, it's emotionally draining to go through that. And for a team like the Sixers to go through that constantly, it's like, oh, here we go again. So while everybody's kind of like shell-shocked, they don't really know what to do, Kyle Lowry, the veteran that he is, comes out in that second half, pretty much keeps the Sixers in it. I think he hits like 2 threes. He has like a layup. He plays really good defense. He pretty much is the heady veteran. Like, hey, we still got a playoff game. Y'all got to wake up. Like, I can do what I can, but eventually y'all gotta wake up. Y'all gotta meet me. And like, that's what he brings to this team. And like, he's able to keep them in the game just by mentally being there. He's not gonna be mentally checked out. Like, you could tell other Sixers were. Like, even Maxey, he was just like driving to the rim recklessly. And then Kyle Lowry was like, all right, bro, you just get off ball for a second. Let me handle this. Let me calm us down. I got us until everybody can get mentally back into the game. Kyle Lowry ended with 18 points. He shot 4 of 7 from three. So really, really good game from him. How many minutes did he play? Kyle Lowry played 38 minutes. So like, whatever. Highest minutes played was Tyrese Maxey with 43. Ended with 33. But he was there. He was there mentally. And then after, you know, after he gets into a, after he goes on his little run, you see everybody starting to get back into it. Tyrese Maxey really shows up. He really wakes up. And I was saying it all game, like, bro, he has to wake up, because at this point, you don't know what Joel is going to do, because he seemingly had no lift. He couldn't jump. The knee was obviously still bothering him, or he just wasn't trusting it. I don't know what was going on, but you're like, all right, well, Maxey, like, you have to help Joel and take some of the pressure off of him until he, like, gets back into the game and gets into back into a rhythm. He wasn't doing that at first. And then, like, Maxey, as Maxey does, gets into, once he sees a couple shots go in, he's like, all right, I'm in a rhythm. I know where to attack. I see the angles. Nobody can stay in front. He gets into the mold where he's like, all right, like, nobody can actually guard me. So I need to kind of take over him, which he did. He had a good layup. He had like an up and under layup, attacking from the elbow. He got a switch for Hartenstein, drove right at him, straight line drive, layup, floater. Then I can't think he came down. He had another layup. Then he hit a three. It's like, all right, well, Maxey's here now. And I'm like, okay, now the game starts, right? The game starts. Sixers go up, I think, about five or six. The Knicks hit some ridiculous fluke threes, which I'll talk about later. But, like, they got on a run, and then there's, like, 4 minutes left. I think the Sixers are down two or three. Then they just go into this mode of where, like, Maxey just stopped touching the ball, and then Joel just went ISO for, like, 2 to 3 minutes straight of him just shooting jumpers, where you could tell he didn't have the lift because of his leg, right? Like, he was just shooting jumpers. Everything was short. He was barely jumping. And you're like, what are we doing? Like, they just stopped running offense for like the last 4 minutes and just stopped giving it to the hot hand and Tyrese Maxey. And there was essentially no motion. It was just like Embiid just ISO versus Mitch Robinson down the stretch, shooting jumpers over him in a game where, and honestly, in a couple of games where Joel just, his midi is just not back yet. And it's probably because he just has no lift. And it's like, bro, what are we doing? And this is what you don't expect from Nick Nurse, right? You expect Nick Nurse to be like, all right, Joel doesn't have it right now. We have to get our offense from somewhere else, right? Whether that is Kelly Oubre, who finished the game with 10 points, right? He had a good little run, but Kelly Oubre finished the game with 10 points. Let's go to Tyrese Maxey. Let's see what we can get out of Tobias. Let's see what we can get out of a Buddy Hield or a Batum or like Maxey. Like what else can we do to where we're like, all right, Joel, you take a break. You focus on protecting the rim and honestly getting offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds. They didn't do that. Like I said, he went ISO. Was pretty much, he kind of shot the Sixers out of the game. And then on the defensive end, Sixers still played great defense. They could not, it's been a problem all season. They could not get an offensive, I mean, they could not secure rebounds, which allowed the Knicks to get offensive rebounds, multiple possessions, which they were like fluke kickouts to like Josh Hart threes. OG Anunoby had a three. And it's like, all of these are coming off second chance opportunities. And it's like, just box out. That's all you have to do. And it's like Joel and Tobias, the main ones there, like Mitch Robinson is just jumping over Joel and grabbing the rebound at times. And it's like, Joel, just like move him. I like create your space, bro. Like, you are 7'2", 300 pounds, whatever you are. Move, create your space to where you're able to grab the rebound, move him out of the way. Tobias, the same thing. 6'7", move them out of the way so you can secure the rebound for your team, knowing that the Knicks' only offense is coming off of these second chance opportunities because the Sixers have them in a box. You know that. So now you know, finish off the possession by grabbing a defensive rebound. The Sixers did not do that. It allowed for the Knicks' second chance points. Swing, swing, Josh Hart, open three. And I get it, right? It's Josh Hart. You don't expect him to hit those threes. And I think he shot like like 30% from three this season or something like that. But like at this point, these are the playoffs. He is not some center shooting threes. He's a guard. The form's not bad. Like I could feel it. Like one of these, he was missing early in the game, but I could feel it. I'm like, one of these are going to go in. And the one that went in was like the one that put them up four. Now the Sixers are fighting back. They're not doing good on offense. They're not running anything. And it's like, oh my God, here we go. The fluke three. And honestly, Josh Hart ended with, let me see. He ended with 22 and 30. I don't know how he's such a good rebounder, bro. His on FanDuel, his rebound line was at 11.5. I'm like, there's no way he's getting 11 rebounds. I don't know how he's this good of a rebounder unless he just like, he just attacks the glass. I don't know how like teams don't say, all right, focus on Josh Hart on the offensive boards or defensive boards. Just box him out and make sure he doesn't make an impact on the game this way. Because like, I feel like it's certain things, especially in the playoffs, where you're like, all right, we're going to take this players. we're going to take these players. Best things that they do, we're going to take them away. And I feel like that's something, especially for a player like Josh Hart, who can't do anything else but make hustle plays. You take away those hustle plays from him. You take away the crashing from the three-point line rebounds. You take that away from him. You don't give him that. He has no impact on the game because he cannot do anything else, right? But the Sixers allowed these hustle plays that the Knicks are honestly known for. This is how they're going to win games. They're going to be gritty. They're going to do things that you don't expect. Like, no real team, no real contender is going to win games like this. But, like, it's just how the Knicks win, especially when they don't have any shot creators. They're depending on players like Josh Hart to get second chance points. Mitchell Robinson, OG Anunoby, who's worse than what I thought. He sucks. But they're expecting players like this to make these hustle, gritty, like, just, I can't really explain it. I don't know, bro, but it's just like dumb. The Sixers just have to mentally lock in to prevent things like this from happening, right? Like I said, to Josh Hart, fluke threes. He hit one over, like it was good defense from Lowry. He like double clutch, hit a three, whatever, bro. But yeah, I'm not as upset. I expected the Sixers to lose game one, honestly. Now the way they lost it, whatever. I do think like the Embiid injury just took so much emotion out of the team. Knicks had a 10-point lead. Sixers had to fight back. They had, like I said, they had the lead at one point. They had it up to like five, and then like they just stopped running an offense for some reason. But yeah, man, I do like how the Sixers played. Despite everyone else playing, like Kelly Oubre with a bad game, Tobias with a bad game, which whatever. Batum 3 points. Buddy Hill gave you zero. Paul Reed 4 campaign, like Everybody outside of Embiid, Maxey, and Kyle Lowry pretty much had a bad game, right? And Embiid kind of down after the injury. Embiid didn't have a good game. Honestly, he just looked bad. Couldn't jump, couldn't get any lift. Hopefully, that's not, you know, a precursor for the rest of the series. But I do feel good. Honestly, I don't give the Knicks another win just because like they're not gonna win off of the it took I forgot about McBride, Deuce McBride, bro. Like whatever. Like hitting a couple of threes, but like they were one off Deuce McBride threes, Josh Hart fluke threes, then OG Anunoby three. Like that's how they were able to win. I do think that the Sixers have a good game plan versus Jalen Brunson. Of course, he's such a great player. He's going to have a better game. But if Jalen Brunson has that better game, it's going to deprive the others from getting involved because now we're focused on like now game two, like we're focused on the others now, right? Like, we're not going to continue to for them to get those shots off. Jalen Brunson can go. If he does go off, cool. Now we can stop the others, and then we can switch our game plan. Maybe it's second quarter. It's, okay, now we're just focused on Jalen Brunson. The others, whatever, they're going to have to beat us, whatever, right? But I do think that the Sixers had a good defensive game plan. I think that they went zone for entirely too long in that fourth quarter, which got the Knicks some open looks. But like I said, Sixers played really well. If Embiid can get his lift back and if he is able to jump, I don't see the Knicks winning another game. I just don't think they have enough on offense, especially for a night like this to happen, to where like if you run down Josh Hart 22 points, Brunson 22, DiVincenzo 8, Hartenstein 8, Anunoby 11, Bogdan 13, McBride came off the bench with 21, Robinson at 8 and 12. Like I just don't. They can't do this. They can't have this type of stat line consistently. Like Jalen Brunson is going to, of course, have one of his like 30-point games, but at the expense of who, right? So that like McBride is going to have what, 6 when Jalen Brunson has his 30, if you get what I'm saying. So I'm not worried about the New York Knicks. I don't think they get another game. I do think after watching this game, I think the Sixers win in 5, 6 at the worst. I just don't see how the Knicks can generate enough offense to beat the Sixers, especially with bad first half from Maxey, who kind of caught and got on late, bad second half from Embiid. Usually how the Sixers go, you're not going to get a, like, you're not going to get a full bad game of Maxey and Embiid and one of them going off at a time. Like, usually those two are in sync. Like, if one's having a good game, so is the other. And that's just how they've been maneuvering throughout the season, even while when Embiid has been healthy. So, like I said, Sixers and six, not worried. Good game. Like, expect them to lose game one in the Garden because the Garden is a crazy place. But you can see Knicks fans were on the edge. Knicks stole one, whatever, it's home. Yeah, all it takes is Sixers to win one at Madison Square Garden. Next game, they will play at... they will play Monday, 7:30 at the Garden, game two. I expect the Sixers to win that. One of these games, the Sixers are going to win big because, like I said, I just don't think that the Knicks have the offense. And if Joel Embiid plays for the entire game, I think it's over. But we'll see. Like I said, Sixers for Knicks. This was not supposed to be this long of a video, but make sure to subscribe, like, all that. I'm out.